Broadcasting from the heart of Newport, this is Vexis Radio.
Okay, if you want to give us a call now, you can. It's 527444. 527444. It's for the phone in. Anything to do with Damien Nettles. You may be a friend, you may be a family member that wants to get through and share some memories. You may be someone that has some information and that want to get in touch with us. 527444 is the number. And on the line now from America, I'm not sure what part of America you're actually from, but it's Damien's sister. Hi.
Hiya.
How are you?
Hi, Ian. Good, thanks. I'm actually in Seattle.
I think we've sort of Facebooked each other a few times, haven't we?
We have indeed, yes.
Yeah. So, you sound bright and bubbly.
I am.
And somebody's just got hit there, haven't they? So what happened there? Okay. Did somebody get hit over the head?
Hit over the head?
Yeah, I just heard a clunk. Oh, it was someone else in the studio. Sorry, it was our end, not yours.
Yeah, not this end.
Okay, what did you want to say? I mean, I want some, obviously some positivity as well, because I'm, you know, we hear too many stories, and you know, it's all going down, you know, the route of going missing and not returning for 14 years and that sort of thing. And there are some positive stuff. You must have some wonderful memories for a start.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, Damien was just such a fun, silly, hilarious boy. I mean, he was an awesome brother. You know, he had him in stitches most of the time. He loved life. He was always looking forward to something. And you know, because of that, it just makes his disappearance all the more bizarre. You know, obviously, in my mind, something has happened to Damien. And you know, that he didn't go off and disappear. He's not drinking Mai Tais on the coast of Spain anywhere. But, you know, he was such an awesome, awesome kid. He had so much potential, so many things going for him. I miss him terribly.
When, during the course of the day, because I mean, every day must be difficult. I mean, people would have probably said to you numerous times, and I think if they'd have said it to me, I think I'd have slapped them. You know, oh, it gets easier with time, but there must be something every day that makes you remember.
Yeah, it's definitely never easier with time. In fact, I think time in the missing person's case it makes it worse, because every day is another day of just not knowing. It's another day of you know, still hoping that something is going to, you know, that one piece of information is going to come forward, and every day that goes by that information has not been put forward to the police or to anybody, it is another day that, you know, that we have to live through. And really, you know, the reason for my call-in is to really kind of hit home to everybody on the Isle of Wight. You know, we've done a bunch of stuff on Facebook. We've got tons of supporters out there, people who I just want to say thank you very much for all of your support. And you know, my hope for this phone-in is that people out there that are listening has a little bit of information that maybe they want to share. They might not think it's all that important. Maybe it's PSA. Maybe they just heard something and they just think, well, you know, I don't want to bother people with that information. You know, they need to know that it's all important. Every single piece of information is so important. You know, you can contact me on Facebook, contact the police. Just that information needs to be shared. And that's something that I really want to encourage people to do, is just come forward with whatever it is that they have.
Do you know, it's fair to say that someone somewhere knows something. You know, I know there is, you know, information that have come forward over the last 14 years, but someone somewhere is sitting on something, and it might not necessarily mean that person is going to be, like I say, in big trouble. So it's well worth them getting in touch if they know any small detail.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, being, you know, small island, and the time you went missing, it's just hard to believe that there could be any other, answer for why he's been a missing person for 14 years. So to me, the answer lies on the island. And And really, I just want to encourage everybody, please just come forward with anything. And I can't say that enough.
Okay, well, I've got some numbers here. I mean, do you want me to read them out? Because I think it's it's really important that we do that. You can either phone us now, or you can phone a free phone number, which is 0500 700 700. That's 0500 700 700. And there is a Crime Stoppers charity number as well, another free phone number, 0800 555 111. There's a couple of numbers there you can phone, 0800 555 111. So what's the thing that makes, when you think of Damien, what makes you smile, what makes you laugh? There must be something that he did in the past that makes you smile and laugh.
You know, Damien was just always a joker, and he pretty much had us smiling most of the time. There wasn't really many times, I can't remember in my own mind, many times that Damien was, you know, grumpy or moody. I mean, he was literally just always making sure that everybody was happy around him. And so, you know, my memories of Damien are very, very much general in that capacity, just remembering always. He's just like a big shining light in my memory, always such a jolly, jolly soul.
What about the friends he was knocking around with then? I mean, you know, do they keep in touch?
Not really. I've always wanted to be more in touch with some of his friends. I suppose it depends. His closest friends, no, not so much. It's not been. We haven't really kept that close relationship, which is disappointing to me. But you know, I know how life gets in the way. People have families. They move on, and perhaps the shadow of Damien is something that people just don't want to constantly be reminded of.
Yeah, I know. It's that theory of, you know, when people don't want to talk about something that's really awkward, so they cross the street, and maybe that's not the right thing. So maybe if they are listening, maybe they could get in touch. You know, maybe today they could come on and share some memories, or get in contact with you.
And that's just it. And you know, another point is that we are absolutely open to anything in this family. There's nothing awkward. There's nothing scary. There's nothing. There's nothing that we can't handle. So, Damien being a missing person for 14 years has been our life. It's part of our life. So there's nothing awkward about it, you know. So contacting us is not going to upset us, is not going to put us in any situation that's going to, you know, negative.
Do you know what? I felt like awkward for the last couple of hours, and it's not because people have made me feel awkward. I feel awkward because I don't want to say the wrong thing, and you know, and I know I've got, you know, sets of eyes looking at me now, and I'm thinking, I am. I'm sat here thinking, I don't want to say the wrong thing because there's four of you guys, and there's just one of me. You do, and I would imagine that's probably why people do stay away, because they're in fear of like blurting out something, and then they would think, oh God, why did I say that?
Yeah, that's a good point. It is a good point, and I understand that. You know, I come across situations in life where I feel exactly the same way, and then sometimes I have to remind myself, well, you know, what would you prefer people did in your situation, Sarah? And quite frankly, I'd prefer that people were open. I'm extremely open about Damien, probably to the point of too much information sometimes. And, you know, I'm very welcoming about talking about him and celebrating him. And also, you know, some of the negative parts, I'm open to hearing the bad bits too. I really am. Some of that information, whether good, whether bad, I mean, it's all good information.
I know that your mum was on just now, and she was talking in a way that, you know, even if it's a body we find, that's what she wants. And, you know, I think to myself, I'm sitting there thinking now, you know, if you write a news story, if you say something that is talking about Damien in the past tense, you think, crikey, that's going to upset the family. But I'm guessing you guys are used to that after 14 years.
We as a family, we were talking about this the other day, and to be honest with you, I think that a lot of people out there that don't understand or have not been in this situation before couldn't possibly fathom hearing, a family member saying, oh, you know, if he, it, we just want a body. whether dead or alive, right? I'm sure that people think that that's absolutely just bizarre, a bizarre thing to want. But, you know, if Damien is not alive, which in my mind he's not, you know, we want to bring him home, and we want this to be we want to conclude this.
Which is you know, every family's, every mother's, every sister's, every, you know, everybody's right, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. We just need to come to a conclusion. We need, you know, we've not been able to grieve, and we just want, like my mum said, we just want Damien.
Sure. I think Aunt Sally is trying to chip in with something.
Well, just really on that sort of note, I mean, my son is going to be 16 in December, my oldest son. I've got four children myself. And, you know, it's not really until you have a child, I think, who sort of is coming to that sort of age that you really appreciate how young they still are. They are still kids, as much as they maybe don't want to admit that they are.
Yeah.
They are still children. They are still very young, very naive, easily led, can maybe find themselves in situations that they don't want to be in. I mean, you know, these sort of things happen with kids, with teenagers. And, you know, I mean, I'm sort of going back to the point that, you know, perhaps now if people have children of a similar age and are perhaps now able to empathise with our plight, with our situation.
Sure.
You know, I mean, my children have grown up with the whole Damien thing. My eldest son was two when he went missing. My other three children obviously never got to know him or see him, and obviously, you know, my oldest boy can't remember him. But they have all grown up with this knowledge, they have, I think, particularly my eldest son, you know, he's actually very, very good at telling me where he is and what he's doing. And it's because he understands and he can see how this affects our family. And you know, they've sort of grown up with a different understanding maybe than a lot of kids as to how this kind of affects the family.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say, I'd like to say things like, I mean, I've got a 14-year-old son, and just lately, when this is, like, brought to the forefront, you kind of think, crikey, what the hell would you do? How would you survive? And then you start thinking, well, hang on, we don't want to go down that route, so you lock him up, and you say he can't go out. Well, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
You know, when
no,
you get
you
to
can't.
16, you can't do that. But if anything, it brings some kind of knowledge to people. It brings attention to people that, hey, look, you know, you've got 16-year-olds, you've got 14-year-olds, mm-hmm. and you've really got to look after them. I'm not saying you didn't look after them at all, because you, like you say, you can't wrap them up in cotton wool
you
at the age of 16.
Can't. And you can't follow them around, you know? I mean,
no.
Crikey, Damien would have been mortified if my sister had followed him around everywhere he went. You know, he would have been absolutely horrified, as would, you know, any normal child, you know. They're growing up, and, you know, when they get to that age, you have to start stepping back and you have to start allowing them to go out into the world, and you know, because that's how you learn, that's how you grow. You know, you can only take them so far, but you know, once they're out there, they're out there, and you know, there's nothing you can do other than pray and hope that, you know, they come home every night and they're okay.
Sure, absolutely. Anything you want to add to that, Sarah?
No, I think that sums it up. I think my mum summed up, you know, what the family thinks, and really, you know, my point is again, just to reiterate, please come forward with information. We really just need to know.
Okay. Obviously, there's a massive campaign. It's on paper. It's in papers. It's going to be obviously on the radio at the moment. It's going to be on TV later. So, you know, the information is it's out there. Somebody's just sitting on it, and they just need to make that call. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's what we're hoping. Yeah, that's what we're hoping. And you know, the billboard obviously is a fantastic sort of platform, you know, hopefully to help people bring information forward. And I would like to thank as well the local businesses who have supported this and sponsored the billboard. You know, obviously yourselves, The billboard itself was provided by Biltmore Printers. It's donations, obviously, from, you know, my brother, friends and family, Carmel, obviously, and her son, who have, you know, helped tremendously towards all of this, and obviously Carmel instrumental in getting it out there. There's, you know, the print store, the White Local, White Quote, Isle of Wight Chronicle. Oh, crikey. There's Vin... It's the YMCA Vinvolved project, which is it's a project that is actually more centered on bullying,
right?
But they're using Damien, which we're perfectly happy for them to do as well, because he was bullied at high school as well, terribly bullied, and they are sort of, you know, looking at this from a line for you know what they want to promote as well, which is obviously, you know, children who are bullied and to come forward and talk to people about that as well, you know, we're happy to support that too, but you know, we're just amazed and overwhelmed with the support that everybody
there's a lot of love out there. There's a lot of love out there and a lot of support. How do you deal with people being negative?
Personally, I suppose I'm lucky. I haven't come across anyone who hasn't felt for us, you know, in this situation. Nobody has, you know, I'm sure things have been said. I'm, you know, not naive. You know, I mean, before Damien went missing, you know, I probably wasn't particularly sensitive either. You know, I probably jumped to the assumption as well that, you know, perhaps, you know, kids just run away or sure, whatever, you know, and it wasn't really something that was forefront of my mind or my life or you know, and you never think it will be. And then when something suddenly just slams you from the side like this, and just knocks you for six, because it has happened to you and yours and the people who you love, you know, beyond anything, you know, and to see, you know, how that has ripped apart the family and you know, seeing them devastated in that way and knowing that you can't do anything to help other than this, you know, getting his name out there, being here, doing this, feel like you're doing something to support, something to help. But, you know, other than that, you feel absolutely helpless as a family member or a friend, because, you know, you can't make it go away.
No,
you know, it's got to come from
this is
somebody
huge
else.
Huge sense of like family, a family that is united. That's absolutely. Definitely comes across.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're a strong family. You know, we once quipped many moons ago before this ever happened, you know, kick one and we all limp. Well, it's true. You know, we do. We stand up for each other. We love each other very much and we loved Damien very, very much. And, you know, we I know it's saying it over and over again, but we just need to know what happened to him.
Sure. Anything else you want to say, Sarah, before you go?
Yeah, actually, just to kind of piggyback on Sally's thanks, I also, and I know that my mum wanted to also say this as well. She just popped me an email to say that. You know, thanks to all the folks that made the billboard happen. And Carmel, I think she's in the studio, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Thank you so much, Carmel. I mean, she's been absolutely instrumental and fabulous. Just, you know, epitome of love in this whole situation. So, and then as well, just all my family as well who are there on the island. I so wish I could be there. I really do.
Carmel is one of those ladies that will get behind things and champion the cause and won't give up at all. She's one of those ladies that I wouldn't like to get on the wrong side of as well.
But if you're on the right side of her, I tell you what, she makes things happen.
You've got a friend, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I really appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you coming on, and I say, in light of the last 14 years, there were glimpses of humour and smiles, and I know that there's been a few smiles this end, and you know, memories, and I think it's really good that you can still do that, because I say, you know, there's a lot of people that would be listening to this and thinking, how the hell can you smile? How the hell can you laugh? But you got to. That's what families do. They pull together and they get through it. And your family is, I think, incredible. I really do.
I agree.
Nice to talk to you.
And you. Take care now.
And bye-bye. We'll take a quick commercial break and then we'll come back with hopefully some more calls. 527 444 527 444. It might just be that, you know, people, again, that they have this fear of phoning, talking, because they're worried about saying the wrong thing. Phone is ringing. Should we take the call? Oh, it was. We'll take the quick commercial break and then fingers crossed they'll phone back. 527 444.
Isle of Wight phoning is brought to you in association with isleofwight.com. The guide to your holiday on the Isle of Wight.
Get your holiday accommodation noticed on the World Wide Web. Advertise on isleofwight.com, the island's leading independent tourism website, from as little as £3.99 per week. isleofwight.com. Your next guest to stay is just a click away.
Osborne Garage in East Cowes have just been appointed as the main dealer for Proton here on the Isle of Wight. So if it's a new Proton or a used car of any make, visit Osborne Garage opposite Osborne House. They can also repair, service or MOT your present car for servicing from just £69. So why not pop in and see them the next time you're in East Cowes, or call them on 299205. That's 299205.
Where would you go for the best breakfast in town? Where would you go to get the best lunch? Where would you go to get freshly made sandwiches using bread baked on the premises? Where would you go and get fresh local produce served on your plate? Where would you go for the best host in town? The answer to all these questions is Images Deli and Cafe. Before you ask, Images is at 143 the High Street, Newport, open from 8 a.m. Eat in or take away. Food to satisfy your taste buds and your wallet too.
This is Vectis Radio. It's November the 2nd, 2010. In 1996, Damien Nettles disappeared. I have with him his, with us his family. And now we're going to talk to Cousin Sophie. Do you just want to put your headphones on? Do you want to do that? Just in case the phone rings and somebody wants to talk to you. 527 444 is the number if you want to get through. 527 444 if you want to get through. So, obviously, you are 3 years younger. You had to work that out, didn't you?
No, I'm 27 now, and Damien's 30, so yeah.
Yeah, funny enough, you had a birthday today.
I did, yeah. It's my birthday today, so.
So did it kind of, when, you know, years gone by, did it kind of get your birthday get overshadowed?
Oh, not at all. No, it's I mean, like we were saying before, it's a family, you know, we all stick together and. We're all really supportive of each other, and you know, it's never overshadows, and I never feel like that at all. So.
Well, Christmas is coming as well, so I mean, is it a time when you all get together and show, you know, united front? And I know you do that, you know, 90% of the time anyway, but is it something that even more so you all get together and, you know, all this positivity comes out and you drink a glass and you know, do you do that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we always always get together on Boxing Day. We're always all together. Obviously, Sarah and Valerie, James and Melissa, and my uncle Ed are in Dallas, so it's quite difficult. But we always talk to them over Christmas on the telephone, and my dad's going out to visit them in April, so he's really looking forward to that. And obviously, hopefully, we're going to have more news and more things are going to be coming through. So. Just want people to ring in, really.
Now, you being a youngster, because that's, you know, you must have some, I'm guessing, almost teenage memories. You would have been almost a teenager, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Nearly.
Yeah, so you must have some memories that will make us smile.
I mean, we were talking last night about Damien and just trying to, you know, remember keeping in our memories what he's like. And I was saying to my dad that... Melissa and James and Sarah, myself, my older sister Amy and Damien always used to put on little plays when we were all together, and so I've got some really great memories of him messing around, being Cilla Black in Blind Date and things like that, you know. You know, really, really silly things, and putting on funny accents and just making us all laugh. So
Have you got video footage and stuff that you can go back to and look at?
I haven't. I know that our family haven't personally, but I think Sally has, and I'm sure that Valerie has as well. So
That's something. Yeah. Are you going? You want to say something now? Don't you? You moved away from the microphone.
It was just a couple of things with you saying that when they were living on the island and I was living on the mainland, and I would call up my sister, and very often Damien would answer, and we just had this thing where we were just talking these silly accents to each other. It was I don't know how it started, I don't know why we did it, but you know, we silly voices, silly characters, you know, just daft, really, just silly and mad. And also, he was 10 when I got married, and I've got lovely video footage of him before I arrived at the church, where he was doing a piece to camera. You know, here I am at the wedding of, and he was, you know, being a, you know, like a reporter, he was just, that's the way he was. You know, he was just, he was silly, he was funny,
performer, fantastic musician.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, he had a sitar and he used to play it, and you know, never had any lessons or anything like that. Just used to play the guitar and the sitar and everything, anything that he picked up, he could play, and could draw. Amazing, you know, amazing artist as well. Really, really talented person.
Fantastic memories. Then the phone is ringing. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Mark.
Hello, Mark. Mark's in France.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello.
Right, now, Ian, you know that footage that you're on about?
Yeah.
That you said has gone, that went missing?
Yeah.
Right. Now, I remember this pretty well, when Damien went missing. Now, I remember seeing the footage of him in the chip shop. Yeah, he was standing there with his chips and whatnot, and then he turned around and walked out. Now, I'm sure I've also seen footage of him walking up the road with his chips. Now, I'm sure I've seen that footage, whether it was on Meridian Tonight or something else, but I'm damn sure I see that footage, mate. He was walking up, and there was, like, some street lamps, and there was two or three other people on the other side of the road. He was on one side, they was on the other, and as they just passed each other, basically. They just walked straight past each other. Now, I'm sure I've seen that footage, and it was either on Meridian Tonight or the one that was on the BBC. Or what's that, South Today, was it?
Yeah, there is still, you know, because I'm not 100% sure about the actual tape. Obviously, there was some on the TV on Meridian, and they've still got that, obviously, but something else went missing. So was that, I mean, how did this actually happen? Did it go missing first, or it must have been missing afterwards, because they got what they needed for TV, and then what, the rest went, or what? I don't know.
Yeah, it just got taped over, to my knowledge, and you know,
Sorry, you have to get closer to the mic.
Sorry.
You got a chair there, you can wheel yourself a little bit closer, couldn't you? You're sticking your neck out.
Whether part of it was used before it went missing, it was 14 years ago. To my knowledge, it wasn't. I think it went missing before. It did go missing, unfortunately. So we don't have it as reference anymore.
Well, I remember this very, very well. And I'm sure the girl who's in America is right. I think that the answers lay on the island, I think. I really do. I mean, they was a bit slow off the gun to start with, the old Bill. And then they was just playing catch-up. And that's it, though, Ian. You're on an island, aren't you? That time of night, I mean, it was pretty late at night. I don't think there was any ferries going anywhere. You know? I just hope someone can put that poor girl, well, the whole family, you know, just come forward with something. No matter what's happened. No matter what's happened. Let them get on with their lives. And anyone out there who's just sitting on a little bit of information, ring up. If a Wally like me can ring up, you know, it don't cost nothing.
No, absolutely.
Let's, let's help these people if you can.
If you,
mate, well, that's my lot. But right. that footage thing just was bugging me, mate. That was all.
All right. Thanks for being there, Mark.
All right, mate.
Cheers. Good now. Luck. Bye. I know on the night they were talking about tides and things like that, and people said, "Oh, he got swept out to sea." But then it was proved that they did the they checked the tide, and it was low. It was low tide, so that was a definite no-no. So, but why do people, you know, in places of making decisions like that, come out and say something so stupid and then have to retract it? Because it wouldn't have been the ordinary bloke off the street. That would have been a police officer or someone that said that. And obviously, you know, why say something like that? That's truly dreadful.
I mean I don't know who said it. I know it had been said. You know, whether they felt it was something that needed to be looked into at the time, I don't know. But I just you know, whether people just sort of assumed.
Well,
that, you know,
hang on, there's someone coming through. Hi, who's that?
It's me again. It's Valerie.
Hello, Valerie.
Hey. Yeah, I just heard Mark, and I don't think. Hang on a second, I'll turn you. I've got you on my radio. I don't think that the CCTV film footage of Damien was ever on TV, but we did do a reconstruction. Dave Russell, that is with or was with Meridian and Isle of Wight Radio, and DC Clark, who was on the case at the time, we got a local kid, one of the butler boys in the village, who's similar to Damien, to reenact Damien walking along the high street. And we did a little reenactment of that. It wasn't an official police one. It was just Dave Russell at the time, and the policeman, and me, and my husband. We just did, and this young lad who had he was very similar to Damien, always reminded me of Damien when I saw him. And he, you know, thankfully decided, you know, he would do that for us. So we did a reconstruction there. So maybe Mark remembers seeing that. I don't know. But I don't think the CCTV film footage was ever seen on the TV that I can remember. Because one of the first things we ever did was with the Missing People's Charity at the time, now known as Missing People. And I really don't know that we ever had our hands on that tape ever again. After we viewed it in the marina is where we had to go and look at it. And I don't think we... No, we never had it, unless the police put it out there one time. But I'd like to know where that is, if it is out there. But I really think maybe Mark remembers that is the reconstruction.
I'm kind of with Mark because I kind of remember it, but I'm thinking, you know, now you said it might have been it was a reconstruction, but I'm just thinking. So the original footage never ever made it to the TV.
Don't think so. No.
So what's there's a footage on your on a website, Damien's website, isn't there? With
that's the chip shop.
That's the chip shop, so that's something completely different.
No, that's two different videos we've got here.
Right.
We've got the chip shop video at Yorkie's Chip Shop.
Right, because I can picture that in my head now.
That is the real thing. That is Damien and a bunch of guys. We don't know who they are. Well, they found two of them. So the chip shop video that you see on Damien's website and that is floating around Facebook and anywhere else on YouTube or wherever, that is genuine. That is Damien. That is genuine. A genuine video. The reconstruction, I only ever saw it that one time. It went on the news or on a program. We did that just using a boy who looks very similar to Damien, just to walk up the street and go and stand in the chip shop, go up to the bus stop where Damien was seen, and just follow Damien's route. Now, Dave Russell's still around, obviously, so you can ask Dave whether or not he's even still got that film footage. I don't know. I think he was doing it at the time he was with Meridian. So whether or not they still have that, I don't know.
We might get Dave in and you know, do an interview at some point this week. But
right.
would it be fair to say that there was, what, four, five, maybe six people in the chip shop that night? And only, two or three that have been accounted for?
Yeah, actually, the video that you see, the chip shot video you see, you've only see four men in there. Five men that are in the chip shot with Damien. But the bit you don't see, there's some people coming and going at the beginning of that didn't get onto what we see now. The police kept that off for their own reasons.
But only a couple have been accounted for. I'm just thinking, yeah. We all know that cows, during Cows Week, would be really, really busy, and there's obviously going to be a load of, people from up country and around the world. But, In November, people coming to the Isle of Wight, less so, and at 11:30 at night, they're going to be kind of regulars, the majority of those people. So, it begs the question, why haven't they tracked down all of those people that are in that particular piece of film?
And the two that we found, we did find out it was off Paul Kenyon did a documentary, and it showed in the January after Damien went missing, and it was about three missing teenagers. It was a BBC, I think, documentary. And it showed three teenagers, one of them was Damien, and off the back of that program, there was an anonymous phone call to the Missing People's Charity that identified two men. And they were army officers who, according to what they're telling the police, they were in Cowes to training in sailing. They had a yacht, I think the army house yachts that they use, and for training. And they came out of Hamble, and they were across in Cowes, and they were just staying on their boat. They'd had engine trouble, is what they told the police. And I think they left on the tide the next day and went back to Hamble. But they were training sailing on the Solent that weekend, and that's why they were in Cowes and they were in the chip shop. But what you don't see on that video is there's a couple of guys at least leaving the chip shop, and they're all talking to these two blokes. And when these men were interviewed by the police, they said, oh, yeah, we remember seeing this young lad, but don't remember anything untoward, and we didn't know the other men in the chip shop. But what you don't see on that video that you can see now is I know that one of them leant over and took chips from the young man that's putting salt and pepper on his chips. He leant over and took some. Well, if he didn't know that bloke, why would he be taking chips from him? And there's a big, tall chappy comes in, and he stood, if you're looking at the video, to Damien's left, and he's looking over the counter. But when he walks in the store, he helps himself, and he talks to the bloke that's leaning up against the window, kind of slouched up against the window, and he takes a chip from him, and they kind of talk. And then he goes walking around past Damien, and he's looking over the counter towards the camera. You can see his face very well. And I have been given a name, but I don't know if it ever came out that it was ever him. But the police certainly haven't told me whether they've found anybody else in that video. All I know is the two army blokes and the other three men that are on that video, you don't know who they are. The police say they don't know them.
I don't want to put you on the spot, and I don't want to get you into trouble, but there were things said about a particular person that couldn't be mentioned because he was, an important person? Is that right?
Important in what respect?
I don't know. Someone who was, chief of police, a judge or something like that. That's what I heard. I just heard that that was...
I haven't heard that one.
No.
In relationship to the chip shop video?
Yes. Because this is puzzling me, the video, that the bit that we actually went missing. Maybe myself and Mark have got our wires crossed because we saw a reconstruction. I kind of remember the car. I just kind of remember this car. And, there are one or two that are nodding here. And it just seems like there's a little bit of information here, there's a little bit of information there, and that's not all been tied up with that, and all of a sudden that bit gets forgotten and other people remember it, and so on and so forth. It just seems like it's been a bit sort of a bit of a mismatch the way it's all been put together by the police. I mean, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, first and foremost, you lose the important, the most important piece of evidence goes missing.
Yeah.
And I know that David Icke was very, I don't know whether you've been speaking to David Icke in, you know, in the last few years, but we did an interview with David some months ago and he was very outspoken and, you know, he was very opinionated on the situation and you know, he said that certain bits went missing and it wasn't just the tapes that went missing. So, you know, I look at it and I think, well, crikey, you know, it's just been a complete farce from start to finish. And you're just left dangling.
I'm glad that came out of your mouth. But yes, I agree. It is a little bit odd that things are fragmented. I suppose that's the way you could put it. It's very fragmented the way things have been done, and it does seem more could have been done in the beginning. And I suppose that is what keeps pushing us and pushing us and pushing us, because we feel that things were not done in the beginning very well and that things were forgotten, missed or overlooked. I just have to wonder, and I'm sorry, I'm not here to be bashing the police all the time, but this is just, it is a fact. It is the way that this has all unfolded. These things are true. That you know, and it'd be nice if you could get the police perspective in fairness, but it does seem that things were not handled very well in the very early stages of this case, that perhaps if they'd been handled better, the family wouldn't have felt quite so compelled to have to, you know, take up the fight here to try and see if we can't get the answers.
But you seem to, the whole family, yourself and the whole family, just seem to come across as so dignified in a situation where, I mean, I myself, and I bet you there are families, parents, mothers, fathers, you know, listening to this thinking, I would have hit the roof finding out that the piece of evidence, it, you know, went missing because what, someone's incompetence? I mean, you know, I just think you've all been so dignified when other people might have really, I would have lost the plot. I think I would have gone down and dragged someone across the counter and chinned him. And I don't.
We are talking about the police here.
But that wouldn't have stopped me.
I understand.
And I would imagine there's lots of people out there that are thinking exactly the same thing. You know,
I think the ignorance on our part, perhaps, was this is the police, and they're supposed to be looking after us, and they're supposed to... You hear some amazing, amazing things about the British police solving, you know, cases, and, you know, you hear some amazing stories. You know,
sure.
I have a lot of respect for overall for British police, but having said that, I didn't know anything about the police, put it that way. I had no experience with them at all. And I was just brought up to believe that you respect them and you trust them. And, you know, if you're in trouble, you go to the bobby down the street and he'll help you. It didn't occur to me that maybe the bobby down the street might not want to go there, you know?
Sure.
I just think that when you're being told something and you feel vulnerable and you're not in a state of being able to look at things objectively and you feel like, you know, they're your only hope, at the time, you know, we just put all our hope and faith in the fact that the police were on it now and we're going to get results. Oh, the police are on it, you know. And at the time, you know, that's what we were thinking. And now, of course, It's taken some years for us to find out that maybe they were not doing, in the very beginning, didn't do as they should have. And I tried to get an independent review, but I didn't get the independent review. It ended up being handed back to Hampshire Constabulary, who I'm sure are listening to this, and they did the review themselves, and so I'm not sure how objective that could be. But I'm not here just... I'm not... I really don't want to make this police bashing. Yes, there are a lot of questions on this case of how things were handled.
Yeah, I don't want to bash the police. I mean, my brother was a policeman, it's not about that, and it's not certainly not going to help. But you can't get away from the fact that the missing evidence was misplaced by them. I mean, you can't hide from that. And
they tell me that the town council, who were responsible for the film footage, taped over it. And I spoke to the chappie at the time who was in charge of it, and he told me, hand on heart, Mrs. Nettles, I handed those over to the police. So I don't know who to believe this. I mean, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do on that, you know, where to start with that. I mean, I can't put their heads together and bash them, the police and this man, and say, come on, who's telling the truth? I have nowhere to go with it, because the books no longer even existed. The council, I asked for the books to see who'd signed for it, and they said they didn't have them anymore. But it was a few years afterwards.
So what would have happened to those books that you're talking about? Would they be destroyed, or someone's got them somewhere?
They said they only kept them for a couple of years. The town council only kept those books for a couple of years, is what I was told.
Surely the importance of those books would have been to keep them until case closed.
Well, the books I'm talking about are, like, if someone came into the marina and wanted to sign for something, then they would have to sign in this book, is what I'm assuming, because I really don't know 100%, but I'm assuming that he meant that they assigned for them in these books. And I said, well, are the books still available? And he goes, well, no, we only kept them for, a couple of years, because it must have been 2 or 3 years later when I was going back and trying to find out more information and going down that road. I know I shouldn't have to be doing this, because I am not a policeman.
Sure. But Val, shouldn't those books that we're talking about, that they should have been, that they are evidence too? So it's not just the videos that they've actually lost. True. They've lost those books too. So again, there's this long line of incompetence that I look at and I think, my God, someone's really, really screwed up this from the start, and look where we've got, 14 years down the line. You and the family have been so dignified. I'm guaranteeing that if that was me, there would have been bloodshed. I would have been down there demanding and pulling people about and, pinning people up against the wall. So, I mean, I look at you guys and I think, what a dignified family. I can't put it into any more words than that. That to me says it all. I mean, I look at you, the people that are sat opposite me now, and, I'm thinking, you've been through hell and back, and, you haven't been helped by the people that were supposed to have been helping you.
Well, no. Maybe, not as well as I would have hoped, but I'm hoping, with fresh eyes looking at it right now, and I just have to say, with fresh eyes looking at the case at the moment, we have a new inspector on it, perhaps something can be looked at that hasn't been looked at yet, and we might get the answers we're looking for, and that was the whole purpose of raising the awareness, because what should have been done in the beginning is perhaps, more seriously investigating, talking to people and taking it seriously. If the police don't take it seriously, nobody else is going to. And so I think that was what we were up against in the beginning. It was a bit wishy-washy, but It's too late. I mean, yes, all those things said, and it is not right. All those things said, it is too late to change what happened. All I can do is keep going back over and over and over again, asking people, if the police didn't do it, I need to do it. I need to keep going. I need to keep going with this. And hopefully somebody that should have come forward, who didn't, will do. And that we'll get some results. That's the whole purpose of the billboard, and really that's why I wanted to call back in.
Sure.
And I just wanted to clarify that with the with the reconstruction, if that was some confusion there, with what people remember seeing. I don't think the CCTV film footage was actually shown on TV, but it may have been, but I can't remember that. The police may possibly remember. But I also, before I go and before this is finished, I just want to say a huge thank you to Carmel, because without her, this would never have, you know, got done, this billboard business, and all the businesses that chipped in and helped to get this done. Is just an amazing project that I'm just in awe of Carmel and what she's achieved. And it's all down to you, hon. Thank you.
Well, look, I think you're a wonderful family, and I just hope that you get what you're looking for, and I hope that something is triggered by this phone-in, by the billboard, by the coverage you're going to get on the television and any other radio station. I really hope that this goes in the right direction and someone picks up the phone and does the right thing, because there are people out there that know, and that's the point here to make. So, you know, and if you do know, then you can help. 0500 700 700 is one telephone number. It's a free phone number. 0500 700 700. And you can also phone Crime Stoppers charity on 0800 555 111. Thanks for being there, Val, and I really hope that you know, in the near future, you get the news that you need to hear.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Well, I thought you were going to chip in then and say goodbye. Okay, look, thanks for coming in, and I hope the next time we meet is under happier times. I really do. And now I've made you cry, and I feel awful. Thanks for coming in. Have a lovely. What have you got planned for your birthday? Let's end on a positive note. What have you got planned for the rest of the day?
I'm going to go back to the mainland. I live in the Forest of Dean, so I'm going to go back there, and my mum is cooking me a birthday tea.
Lovely.
Be very nice.
It's been lovely to meet you all. It really has, and hopefully news is on the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Vectis Radio.
Oh, no, I see a spider web is tangled up with me, and I lost my head. The thought of all the stupid things I'd said